Morning Glory, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Mark Davis sitting in for me today as I continue on my vacation. Morning Glory to him and to you. Mark's been a little bit reluctant to come in since the Browns thumped his Cowboys earlier this year, but that's okay. We understand grieving. We understand the five stages of it, and he's in stage five, and he's back to bring in the news you need, the analysis you want. Take it away, Mark, and thank you.
Hugh, thank you. Thank you very, very much. And I've always, at least as a Hugh Hewitt listener, because part of my own show prep in preparing for the morning show that I do here at 6:60 a.m. The Answer in the big bustling Dallas-Fort Worth, part of my vital show prep is hearing the beginning of the Hugh Hewitt show at 5:06 a.m. Central Time, which I'm now experiencing live as the guest host. And I always hear Hugh, no matter what's going on, opening up with some Northern Ohio references or Cleveland sports references. And so when the substitute hosts are here, it would seem that that wouldn't happen as much. And yet I am here to tell you that that doggone Baker Mayfield in that loss to the Ravens is one of the doggonest performances I've ever seen. And in a little bit today, maybe as we wedge it in between election challenges and COVID vaccine stories and future of the GOP and various other things we might do, I wonder, and maybe with Dwayne's help, I can channel what Hugh would be saying about what strikes me as a guy who cares not one whit about the Cleveland Indians, my outrage about that name change. So all that's coming up, but let me address a couple of things first. First of all, hi, Mark Davis. Been a while since I've been in. It's always a glory to be here, and I love it. It's great to, you know, Bob France and all the other folks, and great Colonel Kurt Schlichter. It's great to be part of the bench strength for the Hugh Hewitt Show. If you want to call the show, because we are going to, we have the blessing of some serious phone call opportunities here at 1-800-520-1234. 1-800-520-1234. Let me load you up on that so that you can be calling and enter the stringent processing regimen. And that's essentially this. The fight will continue in some form. The electors have spoken. There's Mitch McConnell congratulating President-elect Biden. And you know what? That's great. Let's not kick Mitch in the teeth for doing that. That appears to be where we're headed. And yet I've got some, not just tolerance, but actual love to share with people who are going to continue the fight in some form and for a particular reason. My town hall column posted brand new at midnight. It's there right now at townhall.com, and I'll share that with you here in a second. So your thoughts about the continuing fight, is it worth it at all? Is there any value to it? The future of the GOP, bracing for a Biden presidency, if indeed that is the hand that we've been dealt. Your thoughts, broadly written, are welcome right now at 1-800-520-1234. 1-800-520-1234. Here in the relieffactor.com studios, here we are. And here I am at Town Hall. Let me share this with you, because this, in just 3-4 minutes, will encapsulate everything that's in my head. And then I want to welcome Generalissimo for a couple of thoughts, large and small. It's great to be here with you on this Wednesday, the 16th of December, and very, very Merry Christmas to all. And in fact, honestly, before I do anything topically speaking, I think last time I was in, I did this, and I do it every time I do Prager, every time I do Elder, because when I was yanked off of vacation beat by the virus in March, I said, you know what? It seems like a good idea to talk to God. And so for, you know, about 45 seconds each morning, I do it, and it's become pretty popular, and I see no reason not to do it here. So let's, if you're inclined, join me. Lord, we thank you for this blessed nation and your hand in creating it. In times of strife and uncertainty, we turn to you to energize those who seek truth here in our daily lives and who spread the truth from your word. Fill us with the joys of this Christmas season and help us to seek out our many blessings, even in this challenging time. Fill us with the energy to be smart and safe as we seek a path out of this virus era. We pray for a successful rollout for the vaccines that can help us reclaim our lives. Let us lift up those whose lives and livelihoods have been sidelined by shutdowns and restrictions. We ask for wisdom and goodwill in navigating our differences. Let us work together to change the things that should be changed in our nation and the world, and to resist those who would opportunistically sweep away vast portions of our history and our culture. Remind us, Almighty God, that in the most challenging of times, you are here to unite us to follow your guidance, to treat each other as we would like to be treated. And if we follow you, Lord, we know that we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Town Hall this morning. You ready? The title is Why We Fight. There's now every indication that Joe Biden will be sworn in January 20th as the nation's 46th president. So is it time for every skeptical voice to hold silent? Is it time for everyone from President Trump on down to follow the insistent advice to give it up, let it go, move on? Not necessarily, because history is watching. First, to be clear, it has been pardonable for anybody, from some Trump voters to some members of Congress, to choose to sit out this home stretch of challenges. After a succession of courts, up to and including the Supreme Court, took a pass on welcoming the arguments to be made against this spurious result, a certain grudging acceptance can be understood. Outright disparagement of the challenges is another matter. For whatever mysterious reason, some Republicans have decided that silence is not enough. They've chosen to sneeze at those carrying the battle forward, publicly questioning the wisdom of their tenacity, and collectively cocking a condescending eyebrow at the logic that they've employed. Well, the logic is not complex. It is best found in the challenge filed by my state of Texas, which asserted that four other states, through malicious hijacking of election procedures, had damaged the right of Texans to expect that their presidential votes would contribute to a process conducted under the basic constitutional rules of due process, equal protection, and the Electors Clause in Article 2, Section 1. The Supreme Court rejection of that claim paved the path for Monday's tally of Electoral College votes, which gave Biden the total which would secure the presidency if those votes are ratified by Congress on January 6th. So, with one last arena remaining for the wielding of an election challenge, what is the value of persisting? After all, once again, success is unlikely. One member of the House and Senate from any state must object to any state's electoral result, which would send the matter to the respective floors of the House and the Senate for a debate and a vote. The Senate might by then feature a freshly reinstalled Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, but there's no guarantee of a sufficient number of Republican votes to make such an objection stick. And the new House of Representatives will still be led by Democrats. So it's thus impossible to realistically envision the Biden electoral total gutted by a congressional challenge. But that challenge will speak for millions of Americans who saw the absurd perversions of normal election procedure last month. Those citizens have a strong reason to believe that their Trump votes were shouted down by countless corrupted vote totals in a variety of states. And because they were quite literally countless, they did not rise to a demonstrable level that prodded a judge to plainly discern that a state had been awarded improperly. The Supreme Court was not asked to hand a state to anybody. It was just asked to allow states, through constitutional process, to send competing slates of electors into what would have been an unprecedented battle in various state capitals. That was a big ask, but it had merit. It vanished, though, in this timid era featuring high court hesitations to rule when the political stakes are high. Alongside those weakened knees come the footsteps of those who will not be cowed into submission. There will be members of Congress who will raise voices of opposition next month when the electoral votes are submitted. Those members are unfazed by the slanders of recent days. They've been ridiculed for approving of the Texas challenge or failing to genuflect at the office of the president-elect. Beyond the halls of Congress, other voices will object as well, from pundits to plumbers, and they'll be mocked and derided as delusional at best and dangerous to democracy at worst. But the current danger to our democracy is the dark cloud of untrustworthy elections. While the evidence of it was not of a type to persuade a state judge or sway a nervous Supreme Court, it is enough to convince millions that the 2020 result is illegitimate. And if we have to endure 4 years of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, surely the nation can withstand a few more weeks of proper dissent. No heads will be bloodied, no buildings will burn. Dissent during which Trump and his voters will fight until the last light of opportunity goes out. That's the value of the continuing fight. Anybody stepping forward and suggesting, hey, we got this. Trump's going to be sworn in, here in a couple of weeks. Boy, I just don't see that. I just don't. And yet, for the reasons I've just laid out, is there a reason to continue to make our point, to continue to make this point until the curtain fully falls? I believe there is. You may agree, you may disagree. So why don't you do so at 1-800-520-1234, 1-800-520-1234. as this segment dwindles, let me go ahead and tell everybody you can follow me on Twitter at Mark Davis, at M-A-R-K Davis. We'll come back. I'll touch base with Dwayne on a couple of things. We'll play some audio. We'll take some calls. It will be a glorious time. We're glad to have you here. And let me just share a couple of other things as we work our way through the calls, as we work our way through the various things. We're going to welcome my buddy Josh Hammer, who's the opinion editor of Newsweek. That'll be in the third hour. Also, a little touch of Georgia as venerated Atlanta Journal-Constitution political columnist Jim Galloway joins us, and also a member of the Georgia Republican Congressional Delegation. All this and more coming up. Mark Davis in for Hugh. Happy Wednesday and Merry Christmas. Glad you're here.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384.
800-500-8384. The sound of Christmas around our house is the Vince Guaraldi Trio and that soundtrack out of 1965 for Charlie Brown Christmas. This is Christmas is Coming, which is certainly undeniably true. Mark Davis here for Hugh Hewitt. Welcome. Great to have you here. We're going to hop to your calls here at the beginning of the next segment, 1-800-520-1234. I hold in my hands the official release of things you need to do in order to guest host the Hugh Hewitt Show. Number one, play Schumer. Play Schumer. So let's do that. Once again, hey, Georgia. Hey, everybody at The Answer in Atlanta and across the entire Hugh Hewitt Festival of Stations there in Georgia. This is what we have to fight against. It's cut number one for a reason. Take it, Senator.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer?
Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
You know, it never does get better.
It never gets better. It just continues to erode and decompose. My favorite part of that, not to go through it like the Zapruder film frame by frame, is where the guy goes, you can just imagine some intern from somewhere with a recorder that was not fully on yet. Could you please repeat that, Senator? And then he changes it to changing America. Generalissimo, Dwayne Patterson's here. Great to be back with you and Adam and everybody. How you guys been? Merry Christmas, everybody. You doing
Merry
good?
Merry Christmas. Everything's going great. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Weather Center up and running. Listen, the Weather Center in the Northeast is going to have 5 feet of snow from North Carolina to Maine. And or maybe I'm hearing that a little
bit
wrong.
I actually have the official weather board here.
Okay, let's take a look.
This is what the Northeast is going to look like for the next 3 days.
Yes. There you are. There you are.
There's the weather update. Yes.
And this is, and it's not even technically winter yet. So because meteorological winter or something is about 5 days away.
Yeah,
so
it's Monday, right?
That's exactly right. So everybody is, I don't know if we got a white Christmas coming for a lot of, but whatever is going on, I hope it's just a very, very, very joyous Christmas. I have to ask you to channel Hugh for me.
Yeah.
Because needless to say, when Hugh is here, we are festooned with Cleveland sports news. And here I am not caring about the Cleveland sports teams at all, except that was an amazing Browns effort in the loss to the Ravens. I've got to know, because I don't care one bit about the Indians,
yes,
and I am furious about the name change. It is tragic when the woke mobs win like this. I did grow up rooting for the Redskins in the suburbs of D.C. That team is dead to me, and I live in Cowboys land now, so I've flipped my allegiance. They are dead to me for being that gutless. 105 years of proud imagery. No sports team ever names itself after something they don't like.
Yes.
So so please tell, and I don't know. I know
you don't have a team called the Somebody Hitlers.
No, exactly right, of the laggards, of the malcontents.
Yes.
There's just no, all the imagery is because there's something praiseworthy
about it. The San Francisco Maoists. You never see a team like that.
So I don't, but here's why I ask, because I went to school with a lot of University of Maryland, yes. Lots of Redskins fans, and so I'm back as they're, and they're so stupid in Washington that they lost the name, they got rid of the name without even having another one in the pipeline.
Yes.
The WFT. I've referred to them as the WTF, quite frankly, but that's another story. And so I've gotten with friends who have said, man, can you believe it that they've purged the Skins, that proud, you know, Native American imagery, et cetera, et cetera. And a bunch of my friends, some of whom bleed more burgundy and gold than I ever did, said to me, oh, I get it. You know, you got to change with the times. I said, what?
Are the Chiefs,
with the times?
Are the Chiefs going to change?
The Chiefs won't do it. The Braves won't do it. The Blackhawks won't do it.
What about the Seminoles?
I hear of no further changes in this. I guess University of North Dakota or something. The Sioux, I think they did. Let somebody have some spine. Please, Lord, we've got to stand up to these people. Do you think Hugh is as on fire about his baseball team as I am?
He could care less. He just wants the team to win. He just wants Frankie Lindor to be re-signed.
Good point. Yeah, good point.
What he thinks is, you know, if you're asking me to channel Hugh, what Hugh thinks is, I just want to win. I don't care what they're called. Call them the Blue Sox.
Understand. He would rather have them win a World Series under a cleansed name than keep this name and not make the playoffs.
Then lose for the next 30 years.
All right. All righty.
Just win, baby. He's Al Davis.
JWB. All right. Let's talk to some people. I'm going to welcome Dwayne back for some things as the show progresses. Mark Davison for you. It's a busy Wednesday. Glad you're here.
Said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Well, I'll tell you what you can see. If you go to HughHewitt.com, that's the video stream of the broadcast. Mark Davis with you from the plush but not overly ostentatious studios of 660 AM. The Answer. Bing Crosby, Bing Crosby, with a little of his classic Christmas album as we send you us into the pop culture for something else. And that is a wonderful film, the latest from SalemNow.com. How many of us love, miss, revere the track record of the wonderful Herman Cain? He figured so beautifully in the Larry Elder film, Uncle Tom, and now a film about Herman in particular. It is called From Poor to CEO, the incredible true story of our friend Herman Cain, where a man comes from a poor, undereducated family and reaches the highest levels of corporate, social, and political America. It is From Poor to CEO, available now at SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com, both on demand and DVD. Check it out. From Poor to CEO, the story of Herman Cain at SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Okay, to the phones here in the ReliefFactor.com studios, 1-800-520-1234. We are in Ella J, Georgia, in the beautiful North Country of the Peach State. Joe, Mark Davison for Hugh. How are you?
Mark, I'm fantastic. I've got some great news for you. We started voting in Georgia December the 14th, and that was like Monday, and I got there and voted, of course, for Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue.
Good for you. Good for you. You know, I think it's a battle of passion, and I think we also might have a dreadful connection there, so I'll thank you and scoot. It's a battle of passion on January 5th. Who wants it more? It's Georgia. It's a Republican state. I know Stacey Abrams exists, but it's a Republican state. And we should win this. We should win both of them. The only way we don't is if we let Democrat money and, yes, Democrat cheating win the day. As Hugh has famously said through book titles and other words on the show, if it ain't close, they can't cheat. It's like playing on the road with crooked refs. You got to play hard enough to win by 10 so that you can win by 5. So Republican Georgia has to show up and make Stacey Abrams irrelevant, make the Democrat money irrelevant, make the requested mail-in ballots irrelevant, make the cheating irrelevant, and just get out there and win. That's what you got to do. We're in San Jose, California. David, Mark Davison for Hugh. How are you?
Thank you, Mark. Can you hear me fine?
Morning. Hi. Sure can.
Yeah, I would like to give Joe the tag name Algorithm Joe.
Yes.
Because you can only, you know, steal 10 million votes through computers. And you know that pipe that broke in that one precinct where they were voting and they had to stop the count?
That was curious.
Yeah, that was no accident.
No, that wasn't. Damn.
There's all kinds of things going on. And, you know, when the FBI and the CIA are in the background lurking, it's pretty hard to prove things. But we all know that Joe didn't win that election. And now he's got to do a tap dance for the rest of his presidency to convince us he's legit, but he's going to be Algorithm Joe to me.
No, Algorithm Joe. I'll take any hashtag at this point. If indeed it's his hand on that Bible on January 20th, and if indeed I have to slog through 4 years of the Biden-Harris, Harris-Biden-Harris, whomever administration, I will forever believe that it was illegitimate. I will forever believe that there was sufficient tampering to yield a flawed result. And I know I have millions of people who are going to be keeping company with me in this regard. The question then becomes, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with that frustration? We can stew in it. We can have it dispirit us. We can have it, send us home to the couch or under the bed. Or we can say, you know what? We got screwed and we're not going to let it stand in the following way. We're going to win back the House. First of all, we're going to win for Loeffler and Perdue on January 5th. That'll be our first statement about our feelings about November 3rd. Our second statement will be on the November election day of 2022 as we oust Nancy Pelosi from the speaker's chair and take back the House of Representatives so that we'll have a Republican Senate and a Republican House backstop against whatever the Harris-Biden administration wants to do. And then in 2024, whether with the comeback story of our lives, the return of Trump 2024, or someone of his designation, and let me tell you something, his designation will pretty well seal it. Maybe that's one of the things you want to talk about today is not that it's never too early to start 2024 talk. Would I be energized by Trump's return in 2024? Of course I would. Do I have questions about the positives versus the negatives? Yes, I do, because what I want is to win. Do I know that this is still Trump's Republican Party? Of course it is. And that is a wonderful thing because it is energized and focused and injected with courage like it hasn't had since Reagan. Is it a Ron DeSantis, a Ted Cruz, a Nikki Haley, a Kristi Noem? Is it somebody we're not even talking about who needs to be the standard bearer in 2024? The phrase is often tossed out, all of Trump's positives without the negatives. I get that. I will tell you some of the things that people perceive as the negatives of Trump. Oh, the tweeting, the meanness, the sharp elbows, the bullying. Those are actually some of the positives. Because it's that exact personality that gave you the last 4 years of a president that does not care what the media thinks of him, a president that does not care what the left tries to do to him, a president that does not care if people aren't on board for his agenda. Vote for me. What do you got to lose? He said. Well, he's if we got 4 years of Biden and Harris or whomever, that does not mean that we are dispirited and that the fight is over. It's often said of Republicans that we're better when we're on the outside than we are on the inside, that we're better when we're trying to seek power than when we actually get it. So if we are going to be out of power presidentially, let us use every day to make our, and you know who will be our best ally in making our point? This very administration, as they bring us back into the ridiculousness of the Paris Climate Accords, as they bring us back into the absurdity of the Iran nuclear deal, as they give us extremism from A to Z, it'll give us an opportunity to say, hey, miss us yet? This is what you get. This is what you voted for. We've got a better way. 1-800-520-1234. We are in Tampa. Mary, hey, Mark Davison for Hugh. Welcome. Happy Wednesday.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to say that yesterday I read where the AMA has reversed its decision on hydroxychloroquine now that the election is over, which I'm a nurse and I do believe works. Even Dr. Siegel on Fox News gave it to his 94-year-old dad at the first sign of a temperature. And also putting people out of business is just the start of trying to get to the socialism of $2,000 a month. Universal basic income for everybody in a socialist society.
Exactly right, Mary. Thank you. Because a lot of people wonder, if you ever had somebody say, if Democrats are pro-shutdown and pro-lockdown, you know, why would they do things that hurt America? Why would they do things that put people out of business? What kind of crazy politician would do that? This kind. This kind. This kind of crazy politician. The politician that wants suffering to lead to greater dependence on the welfare state. The kind of politician who wants people to think that this whole self-reliance, this entire notion of picking ourselves up by our bootstraps and going as far as our talents will go in a free market, that maybe that just doesn't work. And maybe what we need is to be on the teat of government from cradle to grave. They want to engender and spark that kind of attitude in more and more Americans. And there's nothing like the suffering of COVID lockdowns that might nudge a few million more people into government dependency. Let's stay in the Sunshine State. We're in Tampa with Alan. Hey, Alan, Mark Davison for Hugh Hewitt. Happy Wednesday morning.
Yeah, happy Wednesday to you, Mark.
Hi.
All this conversation about resistance brings one thing to mind. It's Richard Petty. He used to say, if you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing. In other words, he said, if you're not pushing the limits of the rules, you're never going to win. And I think the Republicans have a real problem with doing that. The Democrats have no problem crashing the rules to win. But the Republicans are so honest about what they're doing, they end up on the losing end of these tight races all the time. So you got to try. You got to cheat. You got to try sometimes.
Alan, thanks. You don't have to cheat. All I want is for the rules to actually be followed. I don't need courts to fudge the law. I don't need Trump's supporters to violate the law. I want everybody to follow the law. All of these courts that had all of this evidence piled upon them. And by the way, I was never looking for a state court for some judge's gavel to hit the top of some table in front of him and say, I hereby award Wisconsin to Trump. I'm not looking for a judge to do that. The judicial route always struck me as a dry hole. The thing that held promise to me was the Electoral College and the notion that the Supreme Court, you know how that worked out now, that through the Texas challenge from my very good friend Ken Paxton, who laid it out for anybody, my dog understood the logic of this, and that was that Pennsylvania and Georgia and Michigan and Wisconsin had so fouled the waters of electoral stability that the voters of my state of Texas were denied the honest vote count that we as Americans deserved. Who didn't get that? You didn't have to agree with it, but at least you understood what the logic was. All I wanted was for the Supreme Court to allow states to send competing slates of electors. Couldn't do it. Wonder why. Tell you next. Mark Davison for you.
Let it be Christmas everywhere. In the hearts of all people, both near and afar, Christmas everywhere.
Every year as the Christmas music starts to crank out, which these days is around Halloween, I wait till Thanksgiving. I've long held the position that I don't really need a whole lot of brand new Christmas music or people writing new stuff. There's enough stuff there over the years that's good enough for me. But then every once in a while, something like the Alan Jackson album, Let It Be Christmas, comes out. And I just love it. And it's a staple around our house, so I hope you enjoyed it. And by there's wonderful other tracks on there. Alan Jackson's Let It Be Christmas, one of our favorite Christmas CDs. CDs, what is it, 1993? All righty, hey, Mark Davis in for Hugh Hewitt. This is a big week for Hugh's Angel Tree campaign. Even when the fill-in guys are here, let's please keep this going for Hugh, and most notably, to make Christmas brighter for some of the 2.7 million children here in America with a mom or dad in prison. When I think of my childhood at Christmas, I think of gifts under the tree and my mom and my dad there with me. Imagine kids who have virtually none of that. Economically, don't even get me started, but what if mom and or dad are incarcerated? Can we do something for them? Of course we can. And momentum is building in the Angel Tree campaign as Christmas draws closer. I'm asking you today, right now, go to HughHewitt.com. Click the Angel Tree banner at the top of the page. We're talking a gift, a note from mom or dad, whoever's in jail, and some scriptural help here at this Christmas time. Your gift will help somebody like this gentleman, Kevin, who is only 5 when his mom was incarcerated. He says all these years later, his most precious Christmas memories came from Angel Tree volunteers.
It was cool to know that in some form of a way, she was still like looking out for me, even though she wasn't there. I had hope and could definitely still feel that love and that bond between us. I think it's so important to support Angel Tree. You have no idea the hope that you're instilling in them just by that simple gesture of them receiving a gift from the parent, even though the parent is not there.
It all begins with your donation to our Angel Tree campaign. For just $22, you can literally change a child's life. 220? 10 kids. Do your own math. We are so grateful for anything you can do. Personalized Christmas gift, personal note from the incarcerated parent, and every Angel Tree family access to a free, easy-to-read copy of the Bible in English or Spanish. Go to HughHewitt.com, click the Angel Tree banner, and thank you so much for joining Hugh's campaign to help Prison Fellowship. HughHewitt.com and click the Angel Tree banner. All right, phone number here in the ReliefFactor.com studios is 1-800-520-1234, and we're in Winter Park, Florida. Mary Lou, Mark Davis, in for Hugh. How are you doing?
Good morning. I just wanted to comment that there is a gross misconception with regard to the Florida State Seminoles. They went, way back when, they went to the fathers of the tribe and received their blessing.
Of course.
To name the team that.
Of course.
And they at each game they play, they fly the U.S. flag, the Florida flag, and the Seminoles flag.
Yes. I've been to Tallahassee. I've seen this. My first talk show was in Jacksonville in 1982. I'd spent a lot of time in Gainesville for the Gators, a lot of time in Tallahassee. And when that rider comes out on that horse festooned with the Indian imagery, it is a moment of pride. And as I said, I grew up in the suburbs of D.C. That Redskin logo, that familiar Redskin logo at the center of the field and on those helmets, designed by actual Native American people. And they interviewed them when they ripped the Redskin name from that proud franchise. And they said, our hearts are breaking. We felt like this was a positive representation of our people. This is, and now listen, if there's every once in a while some kind of cartoonish depiction, I mean, I guess they had Chief Wahoo, which had kind of a, you know, big goofy, toothy grin or something like that. If somebody wants to, you know, modernize that a little bit, that's fine. But the notion of Indians, the notion of Seminoles, the notion of Braves, the notion of Chiefs, the notion of Blackhawks in Chicago and the NHL is because those are images of pride, of skill in battle. Those are images of fleetness of foot. Those are images. They're just all kinds of positive imagery. As Dwayne and I were talking, nobody names a team after imagery that they don't like. You know, the packing industry was a positive image, still is in Green Bay. The steel industry. Where are the angry Scandinavians because of the Minnesota Vikings? There is nothing. Nothing racist about this in the least. And it's funny, I had a little tweet about this when this sad news came down that Cleveland was going to be punting the name of the Indians. Sorry for the football analogy and a baseball story. And I called it a tragedy. And okay, I know there are capital T and lowercase t tragedies in the COVID era. And you know, I get it. But I do believe that is at least lowercase t tragic when an entire country gives in to these bullies, when an entire society caves to this kind of brainless pressure, when will we say enough? Sometimes little things are big things. This is one of those times. Mark Davis in for you. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Davis. Right back at you. More calls, more audio, more fun on the Wednesday Hugh Hewitt Show in a moment.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.